If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.
Here's a sample of a free podcast from the Post Wrestling Cafe. $6 gets you through the door at PostWrestlingCafe.com.
Or are they? Welcome, everyone, to the Ask Away Mailbag Show. I'm John Pollock, alongside Wei Ting, who has now migrated to sweater weather.
It is, certainly. It's been sweater weather for quite a while. So I don't own too many of these.
No?
I need more.
Special occasion today.
Yeah, it's fucking cold.
Yeah, that's a very special occasion in our part of the country.
Oh, yeah.
How are you today, Wei? You're doing well?
I'm doing all right. Yeah. Can't complain. How about you?
No complaints here. None. None to speak of.
You sure? You sure there's nothing? I'm sure there's
something. Give me some time to get warmed up. I'm sure I'll get angry about something. But all so right. Far, so good. We've got a lot of questions. As always, you get to fill up the mailbag. It's brimming at the top, so we have a bunch of letters to go through. And when did we do one of these last, Wade? Do you recall?
I'm actually trying to look it up. I'm thinking September.
Okay. And for context, it is now November 13th. So
that's right. I think two months ago. So, well, we have quite a few. Let's not waste any time, shall we? Let's go to Alex from Portland, who says, for being one of the biggest names in professional wrestling history, Hulk Hogan never got a solid goodbye from the fans. There was never a retirement tour, no Tanahashi or Cena-like build towards that final match. Since leaving WWE, he only had 10 matches, which seems like plenty of time for the Hulkster to get some story set up. Why were Hogan's last few wrestling matches not built up as being more special or significant? Whether in TNA or WWE, was there ever talk of a Hogan retirement run? Hogan's last match was in January 2012, and it was a six-man tag in England, the same six-man that competed the previous night. But before those two, he lost to Sting at Bound for Glory. Would the fans have accepted that as Hogan's final ever match?
I mean, it's like the reality is, doing these big retirement matches, they're until kind of this modern run that we're in the midst of, they're few and far between of people that have that level of notoriety that are going to do the actual retirement. Like you have instances of like an Inoki, for instance, in 98. But for Hogan, when he did those TNA matches, like it was not believed that those were going to be his retirement matches at the time. And he was in a case where many guys are. His body was just so thrashed that like, He always wanted to do another match. It was just his body was not going to be able to hold up to it. And WWE did not necessarily, I think from probably just a clearance standpoint, that was going to be an issue. So he never wrestled again in WWE. And it was more so a set of circumstances that, after that 2006 story with Randy Orton, like that was kind of it for him in terms of just with WWE. And then he did, he did that one-off match with the Big Show in Memphis, went to Australia to stage his own tour and worked with Ric Flair, and then goes to TNA and did, some very limited matches, the Sting one being the noteworthy one that he did in that 2011 period. But yeah, it was, I think like his body just was not going to hold up to the rigors of doing another match in WWE. Like, remember, he comes back in 2014. The next year is when the whole racist tape gets revealed and he's fired. And then he doesn't come back till 2018. And by 2018, like, wrestling is just not an option for him. at that time. And quite frankly, way after the whole, like, the sex tape and the racist language on it, like, you did sense Hogan was brought back in 2018, but it was almost as though, like, he's here, but he's not going to be our front and center ambassador. It's like he is, I think they wanted a relationship with Hogan, but they were not going to make him like the focal point, for instance, of a WrestleMania to do a retirement over. I don't know how audiences would have responded to that. I think that there would have been enough that would have celebrated his career, but I mean, his death was an indication that there was certainly, many sides to how Hogan was viewed and how something like that would go down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hard for me to picture a full on tour the way we've seen with Cena and Tanahashi, or even several dates. But you know, the reality is, you either stop, or your body stops for you. And
for or you stop getting booked. Yeah, those are kind of how most wrestling careers end. It's not usually by the choice of the performer, because there's always that one more match to do. And that's why so many retirements do not hold up, because payday comes along and you're staring at a great number. And yeah, I maybe cannot wrestle at my prime, but I can definitely go 10 minutes and do a bunch of smoke and mirrors, and they don't hold up. It's usually, your body is going to retire you before, like a Mick Foley, for instance.
Mm-hmm. Cena and Tanahashi could keep going, and they could still wrestle, technically. Like, if you want to call the matches, you know, bell rings, do your poses, do your, like, you know, finisher, be involved in multi-man tags. Like, Tanahashi could do that for decades if he wanted to, but they're making the decision to not do that and to maybe hold up a standard of performance, which Tanahashi is already really starting to challenge. But at the very least, I think, you know, you hear from Cena, you certainly are hearing from AJ Styles that he wants to maintain a certain standard of performance attached to his name. And when you can't do that, it's time to move on. There are people from a prior generation where that's not really a thing. You know, like, I don't know if a Hulk Hogan ever took that much pride, or at least, like, maybe he felt very capable of, like, delivering the Hulk Hogan standard of match for quite a while longer before his body gave up. But
Austin was the opposite. I mean, for all those years, like, I can't imagine how much money that guy turned down after 2003. And it was that high standard he had for himself, that he did not want to come back and embarrass himself. And it took all the way, like, even going into that weekend where the Kevin Owens match happened, it's not like they advertised that as a full on match until they actually did it. And that, like, what are we talking here? We're talking, like, from 2003 until 2022, he doesn't wrestle. And I cannot imagine how much money he was offered every year to just come back and do a match. And, like, he turned down the Hogan match. Like, think how big that match would have been. And Hogan really wanted that match in the mid-2000s.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations. It's November, which means holiday shopping season is officially here. Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds that you won't see anywhere else. Their thoughtful curation makes shopping simple. But heads up, popular gifts sell fast, so now's a great time to start crossing those names off of your list. Uncommon Goods offers high-quality, unique items, like the New York Times custom baseball book, a made-to-order collection of historic newspaper pages featuring your favorite team's biggest games, star players, and memorable moments straight from the Times archives. You can even personalize it with a name for that extra special touch, perfect for that baseball fan who might still need a bit of cheering up from their team's heartbreaking World Series Game 7 loss. Uncommon Goods has something for every kind of person. Book lovers, history buffs, foodies, gardeners. Shopping there supports small makers crafting limited-run handcrafted products. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. For 15% off your next gift, head to uncommongoods.com/postwrestling. That's uncommongoods.com/postwrestling for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Let's go up next to Amit, who says, I've always been fascinated by the production differences between wrestling and combat sports. Wrestling goes all out with elaborate entrances, pyro screens, and theatrical staging, while UFC and boxing seem to deliberately keep things more stripped back. As someone who loves wrestling's production values, I always feel like something's missing when I watch combat sports. They could easily do more to elaborate presentations, but they choose not to. Do you think that's a conscious choice to maintain legitimacy or authenticity in combat sports, or is there something else driving that approach? And what, if anything, do you think combat sports could borrow from wrestling's playbook without undermining their credibility?
I think if you're looking at this, I mean, there are definitely examples, especially among European like combat sports and especially boxing, that are very high production level. And Pride. I mean, Pride is a perfect example of that. I think so many people with their exposure to MMA, it's through one company and through the eyes of Dana White, who was never a fan of that type of stuff. And that is why they stripped a lot of that down. And his belief was, like, Dana White, you have to remember, his goal was not getting this reality show. It was just getting a Tuesday Night Fights type of thing. Like, he was very much concentrated on just the fights. And I don't know how a Tuesday Night Fights type of show for MMA does in 2005. I can't imagine it's anywhere near the success that the reality show concept is. But I think that there's certainly, for the biggest WWE shows, like that's a high end level of production. But I've also seen some like really big boxing fights where you can see that they are putting in a lot. Like, now that you have a lot of these Saudi backed events that budgets are no object, I think you're only going to see that aspect grow, because quite frankly, like MBS and Turki Alşaik, they grew up pro wrestling fans, and I think that's a big, you know, it's part of the presentation for a lot of these combat sports events, and you'll probably see a lot of that through TKO's infusion into boxing as well. But UFC, like that's more so like that's been a Dana type of directive all these years, that it's a very standard look, but it's one that's become uniform to everybody. And it's not like there's a whole lot of complaints about it, but he was never the fan of all the, you know, extra elements that took attention away from the actual fight.
Yeah, as far as like pretty much the influence on MMA goes, I feel like it's almost entirely down to the taste of a Dana White and probably the other people that, you know, are in his circle that maybe agree with like a more stripped down presentation, but he's very much boxing influence. He's not a pro wrestling influence guy. And I almost wonder if some of that is just due to, like, you know, wanting to separate this burgeoning sport that maybe people think looks like pro wrestling, separating it from, I think, the negative, stereotype that might be out there for pro wrestling. And, you know, by this point, I don't think that stuff matters anymore. Like, people know enough that UFC and MMA MMA and pro wrestling are very different. But maybe at that point, it was like, we're not wrestling. We're more like boxing. So think of us more like boxing and not like this, you know, over the top, very sort of like glammy type of like thing. Our guys don't show up in like, you know, frilly outfits and makeup and all that stuff. But obviously, like, you know, Pride was more wrestling influence and therefore embraced, I think, a lot of that. At this point, if you introduce big staging and incredible entrances, I mean, look at that UFC Noche show,
yeah,
you know, in the Sphere. Like, that's some of the biggest production we've ever seen in a combat sports. Everybody loved that. It just costs a lot of money. Now it's a bigger question of whether or not they want to actually spend that money. I get the sense WWE, if they could take it back, if you're asking Mark Shapiro, he'd probably be like, yeah, I kind of like the stripped down, like, you know, UFC thing without all this pyro, without all these entrances. It looks
they made it very clear that that was a one and done. Like, this was like Dana's like get out of jail free card. We're giving you the purse strings for one card. And remember, they also got a big title sponsor from Riyadh Season for that show. So they got a big infusion of cash, but that was an enormous financial undertaking for a company that, don't get me wrong, can afford it, but does it need it? That was a very unique event. That's one of the few UFC shows that you can say that the venue itself was a bit of a draw for people to buy that show beyond, like, yes, you had the fights, but a big appeal was just seeing a UFC card in this state-of-the-art arena.
And when WWE was doing those string of sellouts, I mean, they were stripping down the entrances.
Yeah,
they were stripping down the ramp, right? And I think their argument is, well, they want to fit more seats in. That's probably the biggest thing, to make more money and to save money on the production as well. So if they were ever to get to that stage again, maybe you'd see a more stripped down, you know, of thing. But so much of Levesque's thing is entrances. You see all these like behind the scenes videos that I'm sure he wants published out there of him coaching his performers on how to do the entrance. So clearly he sees
a
lot.
We're always aware who the author of these entrances are.
Yep.
Yoda.
Let's go to a Jurassic Park fan who says, "Hi, John and Wei. Hope you're both doing well. What do you think about men and women wrestlers grappling in the ring? WWE practically never lets men lay a finger on women, but women are allowed to slap, punch, and take men down in certain situations. I think there's a sophisticated and even straightforward way to do this where men and women should be able to wrestle each other in a ring, or at least some men occasionally give women their finishers when it's called upon, without it being controversial that men are striking or inflicting harm on them or evoking disturbing images of man on female violence." To listen to the rest of this podcast, consider becoming a member at postwrestlingcafe.com.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.